Welcome back to the Rebound Podcast. We're really excited to be back sharing Rebound stories with you all. Today, we have Juliana Monacci joining us. Juliana, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been involved in on campus?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I'm Juliana. I am in my fifth year of undergrad at JMU, psychology major and double minor in gerontology and family studies. So I'm split between being in the psych department and the social work department. I have been really involved with Young Life all 5 years, I guess, now at JMU. Have led at Spotswood High School, which local high school to the area. So I've been really involved with that. So Young Life leading is basically a mentorship between a college student and high school students in an area. So that just means that I get to have like an open invite to going to Spotswood High School and making relationships with girls there that not necessarily need mentorship, but everyone in high school, I think especially young girls, need guidance in that. High school is a really hard time for everyone. And so I just basically get the privilege of going into that school with them and being their friend and getting to hang out with them. Sure. And they get to be invited into my life. I get to be invited in there. So for a lot of girls, I get to know their families or their boyfriends, and it's a really great partnership between college students and a local high school.
And I think we would argue that everyone needs mentorship,
though. Oh, right? For sure. Everyone, college students, I don't think you ever get to an age where you don't need some guidance from someone that's walked a little further in life than you do.
So I have mentors now.
So. Yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Definitely. So then talk to me about the major and minors. How did we end up with a major, two minors, that major and those minors?
Yeah. Of course. I originally came into JMU as an education major and went to one class and knew right off the bat it wasn't for me. Have a lot of friends that have been in the program and they've loved it, but it just wasn't what I knew I was going to do with my life.
Tell me how you knew.
How I knew. I rarely in life have a gut feeling about things, but I just walked in and they were talking about what it means to be a teacher and the passion that I heard in the professor's voiceover, like having been a teacher, having to educate future teachers, and I just knew I wouldn't get there. I was like, I don't think I could be passionate about this for a long time, and kind of saw my peers in the class be really excited about it, and I was like, that is so amazing that there are people that want to teach future generations. I'm just not one of them. So it was like my first week of school. It wasn't this like big, I think a lot of people think major changes are this big, like, existential crisis of, what am I doing? But I was like, well, what sounds fun? What would I love to do in college? I think I was really good about being like, I could get out of college and do something completely different with my life, but what would I love studying? And psychology was something I loved doing in high school. We were lucky enough to have a great psychology program at my high school, and called my old teacher and I was like, I think I could do this, and I have never regretted it at all. I could not just saying this because I'm talking on a podcast related to JMU, but the psychology program has been a big reason why I've stayed at JMU. I have loved it. It's been such a fun thing, learning about people, learning about myself. You meet a lot of cool characters in the psychology department, which is really fun, and all the professors I've had have been so passionate about specific things, so it's really cool to talk to professors about what areas they're excited about. So that's kind of how I got into the major. And then the minors, I just knew I needed to add a minor. It was recommended for psychology, and they said that a lot of people did a family studies track. And when I initially started at JMU, gerontology and family studies were two separate minors, and I really just fell in love with both of them. Like, my classes, I had an amazing professor. His name's Randy Hook, my first family studies class, and he radically changed my time at JMU, and gerontology the same, and knew I wanted to do both of them. And then during, I think it was my junior year, they combined them. So I'll graduate with one minor, but I've done the classes for both. Loved my time in that department as well. It's been amazing.
So we jumped ahead because I don't know where you're from and what's your path to JMU. Talk to me about how you ended up here, where you came from, all that too.
I'm originally from Fairfax, Virginia, which is very, very close to D.C., so Northern Virginia.
Where'd you go to high school?
Oakton High School.
Okay.
And came from a place where I really didn't, I knew I didn't want to stay in Northern Virginia. I, wonderful family, wonderful friends, very privileged to grow up the way I did, but I hated the hustle and bustle of Northern Virginia. It's really, especially my high school, it was all college focused. Like, being here and being with kids from Spotswood, you have a lot of students that graduate early to do work, or they do, like, apprenticeship through, like, the Massanutten Technical Center. Like, we didn't have any of that. It was very, very college-focused all the time. It was SAT prep and scholarships, and I always had a really hard time in school. I had two pretty bad concussions in my time in high school, so I didn't learn very well at all. And so graduated, and college was the only option, really, for me. Not truly, but in my head, my parents wanted me to go. I really did want to go as well, but I did not want to go to JMU. My cousin went here, and I visited, and I was like, this is a weird town. I don't like it here. Something about this is just, I was like, it's not for me. And I was big on, like, I'm going to Nashville. I'm going to California. I was like, I want to leave so badly. And I started getting into schools, and I applied, like, early action or something for JMU, and I got waitlisted, and it was this big blow, and I was like, why is it a big blow? Like, why don't I? And I was like, I'm just going to go stay with my friend for the weekend here, because she had come here. She was a year older, and I was like, after that weekend, I was like, I want to go to JMU. It was the biggest, like, 180 turn. Yeah. I got back, and I was like, if I don't go to JMU, I don't want to go to school. My parents were so confused. They were like, you hated JMU a year ago. And I was right. Like, I know.
Do you think being told no part of it was an inspiration or something? Or?
I don't know what it was. I think I had a really big misconception over the school because I had visited really briefly, and sure, everyone and their mothers from my school was going to JMU. And I had a really hard time in my senior year of high school and wanted to be so far removed from that yeah. I thought the only way I could do that was leaving. And realized so much in my senior year of high school how much I loved my family. I was like, I don't want to be that far from them. And so it was actually really funny. I have no idea if this had any sort of implication on why I ended up getting in, but my best friend, her name's Hannah, she goes by H now, but she would pick me up every morning and we would drive to school together, and we would go on the highway to get to school, and she took a wrong turn, and I was like, where are we going? And she's like, you're going to go to JMU. You're going to go to the admissions department, and you're going to tell them why you want to go to school there. So she drove me all the way here. It probably was the most ridiculous thing. I just walked in, and I told someone, I was like, oh, this is the only place I want to go to school. Can I do anything in my couple months between the wait list and the regular decision?
Yeah.
I don't even think they said anything. They were like, just keep checking in. But I don't know if it had anything to do with why I ended up here, but it taught me, I guess, a lot in a weird way of showing me how great a friend they were to me, but taught me, I think, to be pretty stubborn in what I wanted to do. Sure. So that's kind of how I ended up here.
No, that's a great...
My freshman year.
Great story.
But...
you weren't planning on talking about this, but are you comfortable talking a little bit about the concussions and sort of that sort of...
Yeah.
The impact that had for you?
Definitely. Yeah, I've had 5 total in my life.
Sports-related, or?
Mostly.
Okay.
One, I got dropped. It was actually pretty... It's not funny. Have you ever seen Dirty Dancing? Me and my friend tried to do the lift, and he just dropped me on my head.
Hard.
Yeah. Fell right on my head.
Lift should only be attempted by the really qualified. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. But all of them were sports-related. Eventually had to stop playing volleyball because of them. But pretty severely impacted how I learned in school. And I think what's hard is a lot of people talk about the actual implications of it. Like, oh, this affects my learning this way. But it also is a huge knock on your confidence. Like, I felt very, very dumb in school a lot of the time because I was so much slower. Still now, like, I don't have as much of that common sense piece as a lot of people have. And it was really difficult in high school, especially, I think, when you don't have the freedom to almost, like, not pick what you want to take because you can't always do that in college. Like, there are still requirements, but I had to take a language, and language in my brain don't work anymore. So it was definitely hard. It was really isolating. Definitely impacted how I viewed myself in comparison with others, because I went to a school where everyone was pretty smart. It was either like they worked really hard and they got great grades, or they didn't have to try and they, and I was somewhere in the middle of trying but not doing amazingly well. And I think in Northern Virginia, you're a dime a dozen with getting good grades. So you don't have the like pride aspect of being like, oh, I got really good grades. It's like, well, everyone did.
Sure.
Which is definitely difficult, but it was really hard. I was really hesitant to know how I would do in college. Mm-hmm. To be like, it's obviously a level up in your school career. It's not high school. You can't coast.
Right.
Maybe as well as you did in high school, or at least in my experience. So it was like, if I go to school, will I even do well?
Right.
So that was definitely a hard aspect of it, and have healed completely from all of them, which is good. But definitely, I notice it. Like, I'm slower at processing things, which is okay. And you learn how to adapt to that new brain almost of way of learning. I've figured out what works for me best.
And
I was really thankful to have such a great accommodations program here.
Yeah.
I felt really, really supported by the Office of Disability since I've gotten here. And I've had a lot of time spent there and doing tests. And really, I was in a math class my freshman year, and it was so hard. It was like the easiest one at JMU, but I was like, I'm struggling. And went to the tutoring center like every other day, and they were great at helping me through that class. Yeah. So definitely have felt really supported in that area since coming here.
Good. Well, I appreciate it. I know you hadn't planned on us talking about that,
no,
but
not at all.
I appreciate your willingness to share, because I do think that that's a shared experience with a lot of people who have had head injuries and things like that.
Okay.
I also wonder about, so was volleyball a pretty big part of your identity up until that point, or was it just a thing you did, or...
Yes and no. I don't think I ever put, like, it wasn't like, this is my whole life. I never saw it going past high school. So I didn't have that aspect of pressure to it, but I definitely put a lot of worth in how I did.
Right.
That was, like, my one. I loved it so much. Loved my team. My coach is still one of, like, my biggest inspirations in life. But it definitely was a big thing to be like, oh, I don't do this huge thing anymore that I spent so much time doing. What do I do with my time in high school? Where are my friends? Like, that was a hard thing for sure. And I'd spent so much time in travel, volleyball, like club. So I just, it felt like a big chunk of my life kind of just went away.
Sure.
And that was hard in and of itself. I didn't really know what to do with my time.
Yeah.
I'd always say I was pretty grounded in identity apart from volleyball, but there were harder aspects when that went away.
Sure.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward to you got admitted.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
I was so excited. My parents were so
excited.
Letter,
email, how did it?
I think it was the online. It was really so stressful. I remember I was sitting in my room with my mom, and you just clicked, and it would come up. And I was like, I can't click it. Like, you're going to have to do it. So she did it. She started screaming. I started screaming. Every one of my friends knew JMU was, like, my dream school. So I called them, and they were so excited. And it was really fun to go to school the next day because we all found out at the same time. So you would go to school, and people would be wearing a JMU shirt or a Tech shirt, and you could tell where people were going. So it was a really exciting thing, and I was in a really hard mental space my senior year, and that almost gave me, like, a really good picture of a light at the end of the tunnel, being like, I'm going to go to a new place in a couple months, and it's going to be great, and I'm so excited, and I knew my roommate at that time. We worked together, and it was harder being like, I want to be present my senior year, but I was so mentally not doing well. I was like, we need to think about the next season. So it was definitely a really exciting thing for me and really exciting for my family, too. They were happy I was going to be close to home.
Good. So. Well, we're happy for you and happy that it worked
out. Thank you. I'm glad it worked out, too.
Yeah, so let's fast forward to being here.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the beginning of the JMU experience. Tell me about what that was like once you got here.
Yeah. freshman year's hard. I don't think it's really fun. And that's what I remember the most is you come from not having, I guess, a ton of things planned for you. And it almost, it's like a great mix between school and summer camp. I feel like the first month you're here, like there was so much to do. I came into school knowing I wasn't going to take like a typical party route in college. So that was isolating in and of itself. But my roommate was my best friend. She's still one of my close friends, and she really got me through that first year. But it's a lot of adjustment really quickly, which can be really difficult. Sure. It was for me. Like,
right.
You're learning how to eat well in college and balance school and right. be accountable for yourself, and you're making friends, and it's just a lot all at once. And
all on your own.
Yeah, all on your own. It's like my parents could come down, but I was very careful with being like, if I go home, I will stay. Like, I just love being at home so much. So I was very careful with, I don't want to go back in that first month or two because I will not come back to JMU.
Yeah.
But it was definitely just there's growing pains to it is how I describe it best is I loved it. And I really did love school
right.
a lot. And I, like, started to love, like, we would go to movies at Grafton, which was so fun. And we would go to, like, the classes at URI. Like, there was so much to do that was really healthy and good and was active a lot. Yeah. But
you had to find that.
Yeah.
Right? You had to figure that out.
Yeah. And that's what I think I wish I had known is that just because it's here doesn't mean it falls in your lap. You still have to be proactive, and it's the first time in your life, I think, where you're like, this is truly what I make of it. There's no one knocking at my door asking to be my friend.
Right,
like,
right.
we're going to have to work in. So, getting to know people in my hall, and I joined Young Life my second week of school, and that was really helpful.
Yeah.
And getting connected with a club very early on was really amazing for me, and you find where you fit in here, and that took a little bit of time for me, but eventually finding the people that I knew I would hopefully be with my rest of time at college was really helpful for me. But it was an adjustment.
Yeah.
It was definitely, I had a really hard time with anxiety my freshman year, which was difficult. And I think I had also wish I had known that just because it was hard doesn't mean it was bad. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm having a really hard time. Am I supposed to be in school? Should I drop out? Should I move home?
Right.
I was like, no, it's just a harder thing that you push through and you let people in and you use the support systems you have. Freshman year was great, but hard, for sure.
Can I ask you a follow-up on freshman year?
So
one of the things that we hear about from students all the time is this sort of concept of they had lived in the same town. Did you live in Fairfax your whole life?
Mm-hmm. I did.
So they hadn't made friends in 13, 14 years. Like,
because
you went to the elementary school and knew people from your neighborhood there, and then middle school, maybe people did split a little.
Yeah.
And then high school, sometimes you ended up back with elementary school people, but you had a lot of middle school people.
Definitely.
So it was the first time in sometimes your life you'd made friends again.
For sure.
And it's in a new and sometimes uncomfortable environment.
Yeah.
You're living with people in a way that you never lived with people before because you lived with your family.
Yeah.
You're sharing things you never shared before, like bedrooms and bathrooms and things like that.
Oh, it's bizarre.
And your biggest support system in life is now suddenly not there.
Yeah.
So I feel like you've laid that out really well, but what made you keep going and not just say, I'm going home? Like, what made you decide while battling some anxiety, while managing, like, I got to make new friends and no one's just telling me where to go, and
yeah.
I had to figure out movies were at Grafton. I had to, you know.
Yeah.
How did you, what made you keep going and figuring those things out versus just like, you know what, I'm done, I'm going home.
Yeah. A lot of it was my faith at the time. I knew this was where God had me for that time, and having that steady connection to God and knowing that this was where I needed to be, even if it was difficult.
Sure.
And I think expectation-wise, setting yourself up for saying, this is going to be hard, and I'm expecting that. So when I have that, I already knew it was coming. Like, I already, like, in the faith I follow, we always talk, like, trials come. They will. It's not if, but when.
Right.
So knowing that that was going to be what was going to happen.
Sure.
I was going to hit a speed bump at some point. Right. And it was okay that it did, but my faith was a huge reason I stayed, because I knew I was set up well with a community of people that also knew Jesus in the same way I did, and I had a support system. A lot of it was my roommate. I will send this to her, and she was a big, big reason I stayed. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better friend, and was really lucky, because I know that that's not always how rooming goes, but my roommate Kiara was my best support system, and I made friends, and my parents very much encouraged me to stay, and my advisor at JMU. It's really people. I think that is the biggest thing I ever learned in college, was you have to stay connected to people, even if it's so difficult, which I know it is for a lot of people. But I think I knew I really leaned on the advice of other people.
Right.
So I was lucky to have a lot of people speaking truth into my life at the time. So I had a really great support system. I think I knew in the back of my head, if I went home, it wouldn't have been any easier. It just would have been difficult in a different way.
Right, maybe comfortable, but not necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Well, I love what you said about sort of hard, worst, best. Mm-hmm. And we had a student in our Brené Brown book club last year who was battling cancer.
Wow.
And she said at the end of the session that last year was my hardest year, but it wasn't my worst year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a truth for us to remember, that hard does not equal bad.
No, never.
It just might equal hard.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that you gave voice to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Can we fast forward to sophomore year?
Yeah.
What do you want to tell us about the sophomore year experience and the summer before and everything?
Yeah. Well, summer before, I had just done a trip to Uganda with a nonprofit that works with women, specifically widows, and then orphans in the area, or just children in general. And was really lucky to get to have gone on the trip. Spent, I think it was 3 weeks in Uganda with women. And I loved the setup there. Like, it wasn't us coming in and doing jobs. Like, they knew what they were doing, and we just got to watch, which was really special. So had done that, had lived in Colorado, I think it was a month and a half, was there. So I came back, and I was really, really excited to be at home, to be back. I had just moved off campus to a house. It was very close to campus.
Are you calling here home or Fairfax home?
Oh,
you just said that.
Depends if my mom is listening. If I ever call here home, she gets upset. This feels more like home. Sorry, Mom. but had just come from those trips.
Sure.
Back to Harrisonburg, one of my homes, and was really excited for the year.
Sure.
And moved off campus with a couple of my close friends, and was really excited. And then started to not feel good a lot of the days, and was really confused. I've always had stomach problems my whole life, but this was the first time it was really, really impactful, and it felt like I started off maybe at a sprint and just, like, tapered off day by day. So it was a lot of being really exhausted. I, like, stopped eating. I just did not feel good whenever I ate. It was miserable. It was just so much exhaustion mixed with not eating. I would eat, like, crackers and lettuce sandwiches and coffee, and it was terrible. It's a little harder of a season just because it's far removed from last year, which I had a similar experience, but I remember, like, specific pieces of it, of just being so exhausted. I didn't get out of bed a lot. But what was difficult was managing feeling so sick, but also you still have responsibility. I still was going to school.
Mm-hmm.
I was still in those classes.
Right.
I was still working on campus at the time.
Where'd you work?
The mailroom.
Okay.
Loved it. Great job. Was still leading with Young Life at the time. So I still had that responsibility of someone that felt good, but I didn't.
Mm.
And it was really hard on me mentally. Very difficult. And again, friends was what kept me in it.
Yeah.
But it was it's a hard point. It's hard to know what's wrong with your body and feel the way you do, but it's even harder to not know what's wrong.
Right.
So it was this big, like, I don't know what's going on. I, like, went to the doctor here a couple times and was always told it was my mental health, like, anxiety. Such a physically manifesting illness, too, of being like, well, is this all in my head? Am I doing this to myself? Was the huge thing I believed the whole time, which led to so much guilt and hardship in that. But I was in counseling at the time. Best decision ever. Really recommend counseling. And my counselor at the time was like, well, what if you stopped going to school? And it was, I'm not a quick decision maker. I will mull over a decision for months before I make a decision. But it was, I knew. She said it, and I was like, it's what I have to do. Like, I am not doing well in school. I'm never going to class.
Right.
I was failing things left and right just because I wasn't there. And
this
is
still the fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my professors were kind, but they're still my professors.
Right.
Like,
they expect you to show up. And
of course they do.
Schoolwork.
And so I withdrew from classes. I think I dropped classes at the time and was very, can I say hellbent? Hellbent. Okay. I was really hellbent on finishing that semester.
Yeah.
I didn't want to drop out in the middle of it. So I called my parents and I told them I was coming home, and they had known how sick I had been. And they were like, okay, come home. We'll figure out what's wrong. So finished out that semester. It was terrible to the end. I was exhausted. I came home. I was looked sick, like, I was exhausted, I was tired, it was just, like, this breath of, like, all right, I'm home, like, I'm gonna be okay.
Stay home, Mama
yes.
like that.
There you go, Mama. And so I knew, it almost felt like I was, like, sent home on a mission, like, I'm gonna get better, we're gonna figure out what's wrong. I was taking classes at Nova, the community college.
For the fall or the spring?
In the spring.
Okay.
So, did a...
So, fall ends, you do...
Yeah,
well
medically,
enough.
I did not do well.
Okay.
I think I had a couple bad grades, a withdrawal, and an A. And I was like, you know what?
It's an A.
I finished. And that's a lot of what I learned that semester. Grades matter. Don't hear me say school doesn't matter, because it does. But I was really proud of myself for finishing it all. So, I did, like, a medical withdrawal for the semester. Great experience. Terrified at how easy it was. I just called the registrar and I was like, not feeling well. And they were like, all right, we'll medically withdraw you. You can come back whenever you're feeling better. And then was at home that spring semester.
That spring of
COVID.
Of 19.
Yes. So I was already kind of doing the at home thing. I was going to doctor's appointments and we found out that I had gotten a parasite when I was in Uganda. Which went untreated for so long, which was why I was feeling as sick as I did.
What was it?
I don't know. It was removed from my body at the time, but the bacterial infection I got from it is called SIBO. SIBO.
Okay.
And so went on a 3-month round of antibiotics and was fine, which was crazy. But a lot of that time was at home with my family. I was nannying, I was working at a church, and I was doing 2 classes.
It's actually spring of 20, now that I think about it. You're a sophomore year.
Yes.
Spring of 20. Okay.
Yeah.
Got
it.
Okay. So you're nannying, doing other things, taking some classes at Nova.
Yeah.
Getting better.
Getting
better.
Definitely was gaining weight back, was walking a lot. Going on walks was my big thing, and it's definitely hard. It's a hard thing to, I mean, all my friends were here.
Right.
All my friends were here. Most of my friends from home were home,
somewhere,
as in Fairfax, were in school.
Yeah.
So it was...
And their life was happening without you.
Yeah, and that's a really difficult thing.
Yeah.
A humbling thing to be like, oh, life doesn't stop because I'm not there.
Yeah.
And it was a weird prelude to being like, this is how everyone's going to feel in a couple months. So we got great at doing phone calls with my friends.
Yeah.
Some people would come visit. I think I came a couple times if I felt good enough, but it was a lot of learning.
Right.
That life just looks different for everyone, and dealt with a lot of that, oh, I'm home, everyone's in school, I've done something wrong, which is ridiculous now that I look back on it, but...
That's how you feel.
Yeah, you're like, something was wrong with my college experience because I had to do this, and you just start making decisions for you.
Right.
So, that was my spring, and then COVID happened, and everyone was in the same boat, and I was like, well, if anyone wants tips, I don't know what COVID is.
I've been doing it for a couple months.
Yeah, I was like, here's how I stayed.
So, what was your return then? How, when?
I came back the following semester, so the fall of 2020.
Yeah.
Yes.
Briefly.
Yeah. That COVID meshes together in my head. I'm like, how long
that's why when
that?
You said 19, I'm like, oh, it's 19. Yeah. No, it's not 19. That was 20. Yeah.
I can't even
those
tell
two
you.
Years have sort of run
bizarre.
Together for me, too.
So I came back the following semester feeling great.
Okay.
Was in great health. Was so excited to be back in school. And was living in a new house with 11 girls. Mm. So.
What house?
It's called the Barbie Dream Mansion. Yep. Which,
I know it.
Yeah, a lot of girls that lead Young Life are in it, and I mean, my best friend. So, it was a dream to get to live there. And
in the dream house?
In the dream house, a dream in the dream house, and it was just fun to be around people. That was my big thing, was like, gosh, I just miss being around people all the time.
Right.
And you miss so much of people's lives, is what's really hard, I think, about not being where your people are.
But also being welcomed back.
Yeah.
Can you talk about being welcomed back?
I don't think people realized how much it meant to me to have this, like, big group of people being like, we're so excited you're coming back. It was, like, everything that I'd really taken for granted was so new and special to me of, like, if I need people, they're right there.
Yeah.
And I get to hang out with people and make dinner with people and go to events with people, and I get to be with the girls at Spotswood again, and it was so much joy was what I remember it being. And it was weird, it was different. We were all figuring out a new normal.
Well, you deserved that and you earned it.
It just marked me, I think, is a great way of it was so special for me to come back, and greatest friends in the world, and I knew none of them coming into JMU. So
That says something for you. You've only been here like a year and a half. So then junior year is COVID year.
Yeah. Great year. I know that might be controversial, but I loved it. I had a great COVID year. Like, we had so much time together was what I remember the most about it was, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
There are bizarre things with all of it.
Yeah.
Masks were hard. It was just different, and no one knew what was going on.
Right.
I think we were all adapting to it at the same time, but the amount of time I had with my friends because we were home was really great, and I had a very different experience in COVID than a lot of people did because I lived with 11 people.
Right.
Like, I wasn't living with my parents, or I didn't have one roommate, so it was nice to be like, I don't have to leave the house to have this big social interaction.
Good community.
So, yeah, and it was hard, but it was great. Big fan of online school. I loved online school a lot. So
you're in the minority from what
I
talked about.
I know. So I had a great junior year.
Yeah.
Nothing very significant, but it was great.
So then senior year number one?
Senior year number one, was a lot more difficult. That was kind of my big year of medical stuff going on. So I worked at a summer camp the year prior to my senior year and loved it.
What camp?
It's called Rockbridge. It's a Young Life camp in Lexington. I loved my job and I loved my community there, and it was so special, and I was really, really excited for senior year. And I came in with, I really jumped the gun was what I tell myself, is I signed up for so many classes. I think I was in 6 or 7 my fall, because I was really hell-bent on graduating on time. I was like, I'm graduating on
time. Hell-bent is still okay.
Okay, good. I didn't know. I was like, that doesn't feel like a big cuss word,
no, I think you're okay.
I was dead set.
I don't know how mom's going to feel about it, but I'm okay.
Mom has heard me cuss plenty, so She'll be good. I was very hell-bent on graduating on time. I don't know if it was, like, pride thing, or I was like, this is what everyone does, so I'm doing it. Right. Like, I'm very, very stubborn. So I signed up for so many classes, and I was like, I'm doing it. I'm graduating on time. But that summer, started having these weird, like, vomiting episodes. Mm. Very frequently.
Sure.
Had a really hard time eating. Mm. Really anxious. I think senior year was as much of a mental battle as it was a physical battle this time, and didn't exactly have that peace my sophomore year.
Sure.
So I started off being like, I'm okay, I think. I'm having these weird cycles, sure. And but again, was told by so many people, it's just anxiety. You're anxious. Right. Yeah, it's in your head.
Which is always so helpful as a feedback.
Yeah, you're like,
thanks.
What's hard about anxiety is it is in your head, but that doesn't mean it's any less real, is what I describe it as. Right.
And it doesn't get better by people telling you that's all it is.
No.
That actually makes it worse.
I feel guilty now that I know I'm doing this to myself.
Sure.
I'm doing air quotes. But, like, I was like, I can't believe, like, this is so bad. I was like, I can't believe that. So, started off. Gosh, I can't even remember. Sometimes I have a hard time separating the years. But started off okay. And again, tapered off pretty quickly. Mm. Like, I got into a really bad mental headspace. Mm. I was very, very anxious. I was having panic attacks. Mm. 2 to 3 a day.
Sure.
I was vomiting. I wasn't eating. It was the most, I think, mental health has ever had a toll on my physical body. Was terrible at taking care of myself. I couldn't anymore. It was almost like I had just lost my footing so quickly.
Right.
And again, was this just like heartbreaking thing of like, I'm gonna have to drop out again. Mm. Was really, really hard. And especially during a senior year.
Right.
To be like, this is such a celebratory year. Right. All my friends are graduating. Like, I'm supposed to be finishing this year, right. And I think that was a hard realization, and I was very, very in the mindset of, like, I can push through it. Like, I'm stubborn enough to try and finish this out, and had so many people be like, I don't know what you were thinking in trying to do 7 classes. So 7 classes turned to 6, which turned to 4, which turned to 2. My professors were amazing. I couldn't have thanked them enough, because a lot of them, I remember my biopsych professor at the time, I went to her and I was like, I'm so sick right now, I'm so mentally not doing well, what do I do? And she was like, you need to learn how to be a human again, was what she told me. She was like, you need, whatever that means, you need to figure out how to be a human again.
Sure.
Was a great way of putting it. I was like, I just lost so much of being able to function, both mentally and physically.
Sure.
So I dropped out of a lot of classes. I can't even remember which ones I stayed in at that point.
But because you're saying they helped you so much, do you want to shout out that biopsych
professor? Melanie Shoop-Knox, I think is her last name. I'm in her class right now. We're back. She was amazing. There's so many. Randy Hook was a big one. My advisor, Miss Duval, Kimberly, Bill Evans. I had so many. I mean, everyone from the psych department and the family studies and gerontology department was phenomenal. I cried in their offices so many times, and they were just always forgiving, which was amazing. I was like, and I don't think any of them will ever really know how much that meant to me, but was in my capstone.
Maybe they
now
will.
They will. Was in my capstone with Kathy Gooseweiss, I think is how you say her last name. I did a program through JMU where I worked with the Caregivers Community Network, which works with older adults in the community, and you get paired up in a family. And because of COVID, it was on Zoom, so we would meet with a caregiver every week too. And just talk with them about what it was like being a caregiver, being like a emotional support for them. And I remember I couldn't function. I couldn't do work. It was so hard. I was like, I don't know why I can't do this. And I emailed Kathy and I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I haven't been turning things in. Like, this isn't a reflection of how much I care about your class or how much I care about the work that we're doing. I just don't know how to do it anymore. And she responded, I remember. She's like, why don't we go for a walk? And she met me in the Arboretum. And we just walked, and it was one of the most meaningful things I've ever had here. Was we didn't talk about school. We didn't talk about my grades. We didn't talk about my lack of turning in assignments. She just asked me how I was doing, and we talked, and it makes me want to cry. It was, like, so much of them putting me before my work, which was, I'm going to cry. So special. So special, and I think that's what really made that year school-wise really special for me, was I knew no school would care about me the way this school has, and a huge reason, biggest reason why I came back.
Sure.
It was very easy to be like, I'm probably done trying to do school. I'm probably finished. Probably just not going to graduate. And every single one of my professors encouraged me to come back. So finished out that semester, moved home. This was a much bigger deal than I was sophomore year. I lost a solid amount of weight. Really sick. Really, really sick. Didn't know what was wrong. But thankfully, Northern Virginia has a really great healthcare system. So I started going to doctors, a lot of doctors. And I was at, like, a gastroenterologist, and a nurse came up to me and she was like, I think this was like month 3 of trying to figure out what was wrong. And she came up to me and she's like, this is gonna sound really weird, but I saw this episode of Grey's Anatomy last week, and the patient in this, like, side plot of a Grey's Anatomy episode is showing a lot of the same symptoms you are. You should ask the doctor about it. So I did, and what I eventually got diagnosed with is called MALS, which is basically where very rare stomach condition. I think it's 5% of the population have the anatomy for it. 1% have the symptoms associated with it. But your diaphragm sits too low, so it crushes an artery in your stomach. And because of that crushed artery, a ligament gets wrapped around it. The nerves around it start to die and become damaged, and so severe pain when you're eating, when you're exercising, if I sat a certain way, pretty much it was constant pain. And of course, if you're in pain so much, you don't want to eat because you know it makes it worse. It's a really rare condition, which means doctors don't diagnose you easily, and there's not a lot of research on it. My main source of information was a Facebook group that someone made, a mom made for their daughter that had it, and it was my main community of people that knew what was going on. So had to get confirmed by, I think it was 3 doctors before I could officially get diagnosed with it. They had to rule out everything else. So it was biopsies and endoscopies and blood tests and MRIs and see, like, it was so much medical stuff, and it's exhausting, especially when you don't feel good. And my heart was still here because I wanted to be with my friends. I wanted to have a senior year, and it was a long and isolating road a lot of the time. Still mentally doing terribly.
Sure.
Panic attacks all the time, and just felt like my body was against me a lot of the time. Was at home, couldn't hold a job. But the one thing that was really great was a couple professors worked with me, so I took classes online, which their classes weren't online as is, but they worked with me, and it was this big, like, I remember I was like, I am not dropping out of school entirely. I can't do it. I was like, I need something to do. So it was this, I remember in December I was emailing the classes that I was signed up for, and I was like, is there any way this is my situation, expecting all professors to say no, and every professor I had said yes. So they really accommodated me in what was good with me when they could have easily said it wouldn't have worked, and extra work on their part to have to help me. But they all did, which was really special for me. So I had something to do. Like, I couldn't work. I was too sick to work. Right. My parents worked all day, so I was home by myself for months. It was it was really hard.
Yeah.
It was really, really difficult. I think it was 4 or 5 months in, got the diagnosis I needed, worked with a lot of people on that Facebook group chat, and found a surgeon that said yes to doing it, which is really difficult. A lot of surgeons won't do it because it doesn't have a high success rate. I think it was 60, 40, 70, 30 of getting better, and you don't have any other option if the surgery doesn't work. So it was this huge, like, this is my only bet at getting better, so let's pray and hope for the best, and found an amazing surgeon at Children's National that said he would do my surgery, and got surgery in April, and I'm completely fine now, which is insane. I couldn't have... I mean, you're sick for so long, you can never imagine getting better, and you grapple with a lot of, like, what if I don't get better? Like, had a lot of time to think at home.
Sure.
And also started addressing mental health, which had been for years. It had been a hard thing for me my whole life, but was in counseling, was on medication, was very adamant about being with people. That was my big thing, was like, I know if I'm not with people, I'm not going to make it to the other side of it. So faith was a huge thing. I joined a small group of 60-year-old women at home and me, and it was great. But again, best friends in the world here. They called me and checked in on me and visited and called. And my favorite thing ever was getting on the phone and hearing about their lives. I was like, if I'm not there, I want to hear everything that's going on. That also meant so much to me. It was like an equal amount of caring for me, but also it's always great, even in a really hard season, to hear about someone else's life and to do things for other people. And had surgery, got better, which was a miracle, to say the least, because a lot of people don't. I have a lot of friends that are still in their second or third surgery or on feeding tubes or... No, they're not getting better and are learning how to accommodate to a new life. So a lot of the reason I came back was I knew a lot of my friends couldn't ever go to school.
Right.
And I wanted to finish.
And these are friends you made through the Facebook group?
Yes. Yep.
So you have a whole other community and home there too.
Yeah. And they're all, don't know what state they're in, don't know what they're saying, but they understood me a lot in that season. And I'm very, very thankful for that. And so, yeah, that was my not so senior year. And it's hard. And what's, I think, really difficult is just because I was so sick and went through a really hard thing doesn't mean that I didn't mourn the normal things.
Sure.
Like, I was very sad the day I was supposed to graduate. That was really hard.
Sure.
But I get to have a graduation this year,
which
I'm equally as excited about.
So this is now Juliana and JMU, the trilogy.
That's my extra lap.
So this fall is your third time starting.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. Okay. This is my...
So talk to me, what do you bring with you to this fall? What do you bring with you after what you've experienced? Like, what are you bringing with you? What brings you into this space now?
I'm so excited. I was telling someone a couple days ago, I was like, I've never been more excited to be in school. I was like, school's never been my thing. It's never been something I'm good at. It's never been something I've always enjoyed. But I have never been more excited to be in class and finishing. And I've had, like, the most fun in school that I've ever had in my time here. Because I'm actually well enough to be in class. I don't have to leave to vomit or have a panic attack or anything. So I think that I was just telling my new advisor, Monica, in the psych department. I was like, I'm so excited. And there's a spot on her board. And I was like, my graduation announcement's going right there when I'm done with this.
Nice.
But I've never been more happy or excited to be at school.
Yeah.
It's been so much fun. Still hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Still school. But it's a different year. And I think knowing that a lot of my friends have graduated or gotten married or are in grad school and are in a completely different season.
Or gotten engaged.
Yes, or gotten engaged. So it's definitely different. Yeah. It's different. I'm living in a house with one person, which is different. Yeah. Love her. It's been a dream. But it's just different. And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I have a much more grace for something not looking the way I thought it would,
yeah,
for sure. Being like, well, this was how God wanted it in my life all along, yeah, and I'm going to have joy in that. It doesn't feel like this. I think a lot of people are like, oh, is it feels like your redemptive senior year. I was like, it doesn't really feel like a senior year at all. It just feels like I'm finishing school, mm-hmm, and I will get to graduate like a lot of other people,
right,
have. It just looks different, and that's, yeah, okay, but it means a lot to be here. It's a, right, very, very different thing. Like, I know I will sob on graduation day, and I just get really grateful to be here.
Sure.
Really excited.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
I go to all the ceremonies.
Okay, well, I'll see you at mine.
Yeah. So, I told you I was going to ask you one question to end, but I'm going to ask you two.
Okay, amazing.
What do you want to say, because we're going to make sure they hear this,
okay,
to the people that helped you along the way?
Yeah.
Family, friends,
oh,
professors, doctors, yeah, like, you're here because of a lot of other people and a lot of faith, and,
yeah,
and I wanted to give you a moment to say what you want to say.
Yeah. Could say, I don't think I'll say it without crying, is my thing.
Again, that's why they're there.
Very emotional talking about it. I think the typical, like, I know everyone says, I couldn't have done it without you, like, wouldn't have been here if it wasn't for you, but I truly wouldn't have, like, I would have dropped out a long time ago and stopped school and given up in a lot of aspects of my life were it to have not been for my friends and the people and my family. I think a lot of people saw my life on the other side of that when I did it, and that was really special. And I think a lot of people had a lot of faith in me when I didn't see that anymore. So that meant a lot. And I think specifically professors treating me like a person and not a student was really special and took a lot of extra steps that they didn't have to take with me. Which meant a lot to me. The whole psych department and family studies and my advisors and a lot of really random people saw me crying, checked on me, a lot of custodians, that was the big thing, a lot of my community at JMU with Young Life, I mean, they kept me in it, my housemates, my roommates, my family, I just never felt alone in it. I was very thankful that that was nothing I ever felt at JMU, and they saved me from feeling alone in it, and I couldn't be more thankful for that. So, it takes a village,
sure,
and it did, and I'm thankful I had that amount of people that cared.
Yeah. I don't always throw in Ted Lasso.
Oh,
but that was... there was a line at the end of the last season where they had lost, and... he said there's nothing worse than being sad other than being sad and alone.
Yeah.
He says ain't nobody here alone.
Yeah.
And I think that even when you were sad, you were never alone. And
yeah.
I think that says a lot for the community that has surrounded you here.
Definitely. I remember I was having a terrible day. It's the dumbest poster I saw right outside of Carrier, and it was like, you never have to be alone. You have the family. You have the best family you could have asked for right here. And sobbed, of course. But I was like, it's true. Like, I have a family here. Ted Lasso was, oddly enough, one of my comfort shows that got me through that time, too. So,
well, good.
I could recommend anything. It's Ted Lasso.
Yeah, no, me too. Be Curious, Not Judgmental.
Yeah.
Continues to be one of my favorite
amazing
things ever. So, let's end,
mm-hmm,
by lifting up a message from you to the community.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? You know, people have listened to this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the last thing you want to leave them with before I say thank you all for joining
yeah
us? what do you want, what's the last message you want to lift up for people?
I think a lot of people during a hard time or a trial, especially in college, think it's an option to be alone in it or to not be alone. And I would say it's not an option to be alone in it. We were never, ever created to do anything apart from other people. And people care more about you than you think they do is the biggest thing. So I know it's hard for a lot of people to find friends, and a lot of people are less social than others, but I would have not made it through anything I have in the past 5 years without people. So even if it's one person, 5, 20, you have to do it with people. I couldn't stress that enough, that people are very, very willing to help, especially here. So talking to people about it, as terrifying and scary as it is what is your lifesaver in a lot of those situations. So you don't have to do it alone is a very cliche but critical part of getting through anything hard, is professors, friends, clubs, custodians. You don't have to do it alone. So I'd say find your village in it, and you can make it through anything.
Just have to let them in.
Yeah. Hard. Terrifying. It's not easy, but you do. Right. And people are a lot less scared of mess than you think they are. So. Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting us in.
Always.
And for sharing of yourself this way.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
This is the Rebound Podcast with Juliana. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Rebound.